Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny C.
Hi, I'm Jenny C. And this is your weekly report of connection with your spirit, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in depth psychology, that is, understanding the unconscious, the subconscious, the parts of ourselves that are maybe more hidden and have gifts and opportunities to give us if we can connect with them. This is the study of archetypes, right? The deep stories that we tell in our lives, in our cultures, and in our families. And this is about telling those stories with grace and authenticity in our lives so that the stories aren't old stories or stories that don't hold energy for us anymore, but they're new stories and the stories that are on the horizon for us, the stories that inspire us and help us connect with what is our authentic self or our numinous and magical parts of ourself. It's also for folks who are interested in trusting their own intuition and following that journey, even if they might not know where it leads them. So if you're interested in these topics, you're really in the right place. I encourage you to get a beverage, just take a seat, and enjoy the hour. Tonight I have a really exciting hour planned. For folks who are new to Inner Voice, we often have guests on who are connecting with their inner voice, their deep passions in authentic ways. So folks out there who are artists or who have wonderful business ideas or who just stretch the boundaries of the everyday, I encourage you to contact Inner Voice if you think that you would be a good guest. I also have folks on who are working on different kinds of practices, metaphysical practices, and sharing their entrepreneurial skills in the world. So I'm really excited to connect with those folks on Inner Voice. I also encourage you to check out all the other radio shows on With Insights Radio. Iggy Garcia, who is kind of at the helm, has many wonderful shows. Those shows include the With Insights Hour with Iggy and his sister, Rosa Bell, who do a wonderful hour where they offer readings and insights and a metaphysical connection to spirit. Also, there is Heather Tapia's Entrepreneurial Hour, which is a great hour for women and men who are working on figuring out how to be authentic in their business. And then last but not least, well, there's my show, Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, which I've told you a little bit about. And then last but not least is Mudtoe Sasquatch, who offers wonderful, wonderful archetypal stories, sometimes a little off the beaten path, but he just is a wonderful, wonderful writer. So I encourage you to check out all of the things that With Insights Radio offers. This evening, I'm going to be talking about two things. I'm going to be talking about not only my own work, which I design a very special kind of bracelets called intuitive bracelets. And I'm going to talk about sacred bracelets and what they can offer you, what Sacred Bracelets' vision was about and how I crafted it, boy, about 8 years ago now, and how it has become a thriving business. And I also am going to talk to you about what you can offer the world and how you can connect with the entrepreneurial spirit in yourself. I've had a lot of insights about this lately. So what I want to do first is just share basically what's coming up on Inner Voice and also encourage you, if you're listening to the show for the first time, to share your smiley face on the page, your photo on the page, so we know that you're listening. And also to get involved, to write me a note and let me know what you'd like to see on the show. And that way, if you follow the show, if you click that little button that says follow, you too can connect with Inner Voice and know what's coming up and what the topics will be on air. So I want to let you know what's coming up on Inner Voice next week, and that is December 4th. Elle Kaysen will be on. For folks who listened last year, Elle Kaysen was on, and she is a wonderful palmist, does wonderful children with work with children and really connects with, I would say, archetypal stories. And although she isn't a Jungian per se, she just has such an understanding of what those archetypal stories are and how to connect with them. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful, insightful person. So I encourage you, we'll be talking about dreams that evening. And so if you are one of those who's a lucid dreamer, an active dreamer, I encourage you to check out that show. Then on December 11th, Deb Wright will be on, and she will talk about her business, Our Wellness. Deb has been a friend for a while now, and she is a wonderful massage therapist and really, really goes the extra mile when she does her work. Really has a very intuitive edge to the way that she practices her massage. And so I will be having her on to talk about the work that she does and how she's guided to do her work differently in her business. I do want to talk a little bit about sacred bracelets and then just give insight to people who are on that very beginning journey. There are certain people in the culture who are not meant to work 9-to-5 jobs, and often these people can have difficult paths because they don't fit a 9-to-5 mold. And because we live in a 9-to-5 culture, it can be very, very easy to think that there's something wrong with you, when really what you have is an entrepreneurial spirit. And sometimes that entrepreneurial spirit doesn't allow for you to follow the rules in quite the same way or with quite the same kind of noticing of a hierarchy. Sometimes it's that we want to build it ourselves and we have a vision that is kind of all our own. And I think that later on we learn as an entrepreneur that we have to draw other people into our business. We have to draw other voices and hearts and minds in so that we can connect on a larger level. But sometimes the way that we do that is different as entrepreneurs. So for those of you who are starting businesses out there and feeling like, boy, what have I gotten myself into? This is so big. Or, you know, that feeling where you're excited to move forward, but you're also a little scared as well. I encourage you to embrace that feeling and to know that that is the feeling of connecting with your journey, and that we can move that fear-based place to an excited place inside of ourselves. So I encourage you right now, if you are one of those entrepreneurial spirits out there, to just close your eyes and envision your business exactly where you want it to be. Envision yourself offering those heart-centered services that you really want to connect with other people, and envisioning who your most perfect and most fitted client is, because we know on a quantum level that when we allow ourselves to envision in the place of the now, what it is we want to see in our future, and we're able to hold that in our heart, right in our body and in our heart, and feel that shift. But for one thing, it makes the journey to getting there in the outside world so much more easy, and it makes it so that we don't need to be able to actualize it as quickly, because we already feel that shift internally. But also, it changes us on a quantum level, because our body doesn't know the difference between our imagination and between the actuality of what it is we want. So if we hold those visions clearly, 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 and this is what I always tell clients, really get in on the skinny of them, really get into the meat of them, and figure out what the details look like and what it feels like to have that perfect client, you know, sign on for all of those sessions or order that piece. That is the way to know what it is you're wanting to offer in the world, and to begin to do it even if the clients aren't knocking on your door, so that you can feel what the knock sounds like, so to speak. So I encourage people, when they start on their journey, and there'll be a lot of pressures on your journey to conform to, you know, what everybody tells you to do, but trust your inner voice, trust your heart, trust what you're guided to give. And I really encourage you to say no to opportunities that might feel big and like they are the right opportunity if they don't feel right in your heart. They don't offer a goodness of fit. They don't offer authenticity, or they don't give you the respect that you need, or fiscally they're not, you know, they may be a good opportunity in one way, but in another way they're not fiscally sound for you. So people are trying to get you to undersell your services, these sorts of things. Because what this leads to is a wounded spirit. And as we become entrepreneurs and become clearer about what we're offering, we can't bring that woundedness into our business. So these are the places where I encourage you to just step back into those places where you felt wounded, so you'll know where your lines are in the sand and you'll know what you won't do, so that you can focus more on what you do want to do and what does feel good to you. So those are some really, really great pieces. And I also want to share with you now a little bit about my own business and my own journey. About 8 years ago, I was working in a Montessori school and loved the children and loved the work. But it just wasn't a good fit for me in terms of the administration and some of the larger policy decisions that were going on, and it just didn't feel like a good fit, and I had taken a lot of that in and had a lot of wounding about that, and in retrospect realized that I wasn't in the right place and that I was drawing a line in the sand, but I didn't recognize that I had more to offer and that this was a place that in some ways was toxic to my spirit. And sometimes when we're growing that empowerment in ourselves, we misunderstand it and we think that we're being rejected when really we've rejected something and need to move on from it. So I moved on. I spent some time on unemployment, and I did what people often don't do on unemployment. Often when they're on unemployment, they go run out and try to find a job, and they're frantic, and they feel fearful and all of this. I didn't do that. I spent about 3 months really, really getting in touch with my spirit, with my heart, with my soul, and trying to figure out what had happened. And how I could not repeat the same pattern. And I also spent a lot of time meditating. At that point, I lived in a beautiful, beautiful, yet very, very urban area. I had this wonderful high porch, and I had a great container garden out there, and I'd created this trellis, and I had this Adirondack chair. And I would sit out there every single morning and meditate and work with my chakras and ask what stories and what energies and what emotions they held so I could notice and clear the energies. And I was having a series of dreams at that point that were very, very tumultuous. And you know, there was a lot of themes that were really, really difficult, primal instinctual energies that were getting off course, like animals that were raging, which, of course, was the internal animal in me that felt angry about things that had happened. And I was trying to get to that, what Jung calls that numinous place, or that magical feeling in ourselves. And I was having these dreams at the time where I was going to this land, and you know that feeling where, you know, your endorphins are all pumped up and you're like flying over someplace. So I was always flying over this place and into this land, and it was wonderful. And all I can say is it felt like this Russian forest. And I would do all these very, very kind of circuitous kind of back and forth dances there with all of these animals that talked. And I would get in on these squabbles, and where I was like inside a chicken coop, like if you can take that apart, a chicken coop. So who was the chicken, right? And talking to this angry, sarcastic cat. Anyway, it kind of went on like that, and I would go to this land, and I would have these, you know, squabbles with these animals that spoke to me and told me these stories that were really hard to sort out, where the answers were very, very tricky. And so that told me that I was working on the archetype of the trickster. So I wanted to, but I could never figure out any resolution to these dreams. So in my own attempts to work through my woundedness, I decided to create a piece of jewelry for myself. And I designed this coiled bracelet that felt like the energy of the dream landscape that I was going to. Jung talks about this idea of the active imagination. And the goal of active imagination, also Robert Johnson, for folks who are familiar with his work, wonderful book called Inner Work about dialoguing with dream figures. I just put that out there for those lucid dreamers or people who are interested in dream work. Anyway, he talks about active imagination. And active imagination is the process of bringing the symbolic meat of the dream forward into our life and creating a bridge between the unconscious, right, the dream world, and the conscious, so we can expel the loaded energy that is in the dream world and move it into our waking world. So what I did was I designed this bracelet so I would be more conscious of the energy that I felt when I was in this Russian forest with all these kind of back-talking animals. And it was beautiful. It was the first bracelet I'd ever designed. And it, for people who have seen my work, it's a coiled piece. And then it has all of these different gemstones and different charms and different meaningful symbols that have a theme to them that tell a story. And so, it's kind of like a slinky, really. And it repeats with several coils. So anyway, I made this piece for myself, and I began wearing it everywhere because it helped me to heal some of these energies in my dream. It helped me to bring them forward so I could work with them on a conscious level. And I was working out of a place then, Celestial Awakenings, I believe it was called, and doing some tarot work out of there. And someone saw my bracelet and just loved it and said, what is that? Tell me about that. And I told them about the dream bracelet. And they came and they got a reading, and we worked with their dream, and I designed a piece for them. And it was the beginning of Sacred Bracelets. And I was really guided at that point, not just with the tarot. I went and worked at a place called Feed Your Spirit there and developed a pretty strong clientele. And then also worked designing these bracelets for people that helped to embody the symbols that they were calling forward into their life, whether those be chakra symbols, whether they be numerical sequences, right, sacred numbers, whether they be animal totems. I've worked with all of those energies. And people started to order these bracelets, and Sacred Bracelets just grew from there. With any business, you really have to be careful energetically what you align with and that it feels right to you. You're very pressured to connect with, you know, the best, bigger, better, faster, more before you might want to grow. I remember when I was designing a video for Sacred Bracelets on YouTube, and you know, when we start to do these things, they're baby steps because we really don't know what we're doing. We have this vision, right, but we don't understand the business aspects of it or the technical aspects of it. So we all have a learning curve there. But I designed this video, and that's a story in and of itself. To kind of share with people what Sacred Bracelets was about, what the vision was about. And that's when I really started to work with the different kinds of energies with the bracelets and present to them the different things that I could do. And the thing that's been so fun about Sacred Bracelets is connecting with people's sacred stories. It's so empowering to sit there and listen or intuit what someone's story is and to help them bring it forward in their lives, because we know energetically that when we put attention on something, it grows. But we aren't encouraged in our culture to do that very much. We're not encouraged to envision and take those things that may seem abstract or sometimes unimportant, right? Because our culture is so much about our ego. It's so much about the doing of our lives. But this is about sitting with the things that reappear for us, our what I call our insistent messages, our most insistent imaginings, and bringing those forward in our lives. And for some of those, that has to do with, for some of us, though, that has to do with a place that we've always wanted to travel that holds a lot of magic. I started designing these bracelets called Sacred Sites bracelets for myself initially, because I really had discovered that any of the jewelry out there I really didn't like as much as what I was designing. So I started designing these bracelets for myself after I would go on trips to hold the energy of the trip. I had gone on a trip to Ireland and designed a bracelet. They're called Ring of Kerry, which had all of the energy of the green fields, and then the fairy bell flowers, which are those purple bell flowers. And so I designed that bracelet. And then I also designed another one. I went on a wonderful trip to Turkey. I made a bracelet called Cave that had this big stone in the middle, and these beetles, scarabs in it, and it's in these oranges and coppers, and it has a tiger's eye, and it holds the energy of the center of that cave. So what I decided with sacred bracelets, people saw those pieces and they got excited about them. And they started giving me pictures of places that they'd traveled to. And that was really such an honor to work with these wonderful sacred places where maybe people's energy is different. It's more spontaneous or it's more magical because we're in a place in our life where maybe we're not put upon by all of, you know, what we have to do in the world, but we are there to just experience what arises in our serendipitous or our magical experiencing. So I designed one for a lady who went to Hawaii, and it was really funny. I've noticed there's this kind of energy that starts to galvanize around a particular place. When I'm going to design one of these bracelets for somebody, me and my partner were watching Lost, the series, and I'd really never thought about Hawaii that much. And if for those who have watched Lost, it starts out on the beach, and then they walk through the jungle into the center where all of the mountains are. And when I designed this bracelet, and then I had a colleague from where I went to school that was going on a trip to Maui, and then someone shared their pictures on Facebook of Maui. And so there was all this energy, and then this guy ordered, this lady ordered for her husband this Maui rooster bracelet, but she didn't want a bracelet. She wanted me to design a mobile for his desk. So I took this picture of this rooster, and I designed this wonderful mobile in reds and blues and bright yellows, and I think it had a rooster feather in it, and it was just really an honor to work with the energy that way. So I had started to notice this connection with Hawaii, which has another deeper connection in my life. There's something about that that fire and water and where there are volcanoes right up against the mountains that feels so powerful and so provocative to me as an elemental energy. So anyway, I got to make this wonderful bracelet for this woman, and I realized as I was making the bracelet that after I had designed the bracelet, that one was called Crossing the Island, it started out with little tiny shells and beads that represented sand and water, like the very shallow, shallow blue water. And then the energy of the jungle, which was all this greens and lots of wire work that was very spirally and twisty, like the leaves and the vines. And then in the center, there was this wonderful abalone shell piece, and it was very, very magical, and it had all these flowers. And then on the other side, it did the same thing. So as you crossed the island, you literally felt like, as you were looking at the bracelet, you were crossing the island. And what I noticed energetically is that when I got done designing the piece, I felt like I had been to Hawaii. I felt like I had been on the island and crossed it, Maui, or one of the smaller islands, Kauai. And I realized that it was a way to go somewhere before I'd been there. And then I designed one for a lady who had gone on a wonderful trip to St. Thomas. And she gave me a particular picture, and I designed a bracelet for her. And if you guys are interested in seeing any of these bracelets, you can go to YouTube to Sacred Bracelets, and you'll see these designs. Many of them have the picture. I put the picture up, and then the bracelet that corresponds to it is the next image that comes on the screen. And so I designed this piece for her, and that's when I realized that I could stagger the wires and the bracelets to correspond to the way the colors came into the picture. And it's so amazing to do the process because I'm really sitting back and letting the process take me somewhere. I'm not going, when I'm doing the best work I do, which we're all, you know, human beings, so we all get caught in our egos and worry too much and perseverate and all these things, but when I'm doing the best work that I do, I'm really not there at all. I'm just guided by this higher source to design this piece. So I staggered the wires, and I realized I could work with all the twisted wires at the same time and just pull them in, almost like paint. And so I designed this piece for her, and it was just really, really an honor to work with her energy. But what I was getting, what I wanted to get back to, and sometimes this is kind of circuitous because a lot of things, a lot of different themes come and I can lose my place, but what I had really wanted to say was when I designed that first video for YouTube, I gave it to a couple people who were friends, and I said, you know, what do you think of this video? And some of them said, oh, well, it's a wonderful video, but nobody's going to watch a 7-minute video. You know, I don't think everybody's going to watch that. And I thought, that's just fine. That is just fine with me. I honestly want people who want to spend 7 minutes and get so enthralled and so caught up in the designs, those designs, that I'm doing those sacred bracelets for them, for people who are in that magical place. I don't want to design my bracelets for someone who is looking for the next big thing. For one thing, my life doesn't need that much. I don't need that much, that many customers. That many customers would overwhelm me. I want to design bracelets for people who understand how special the process is, and by extension understand how special their processes and their dreams are. And I want to design for those people. So I want sacred bracelets to be for people who really want sacred bracelets. They don't just want the next thing to come up the pike, or, you know, they don't want to count all the gemstones and make sure that there's enough to make it worth something. I want people who understand the vision of it. So it was funny because I had to kind of hold that energy and go, is that true? And I said, you know, that's really not true. That is, does not speak to my truth. I'm not worried about losing those people. I don't really, you know, I'm designing these for the people who understand the art and the wonder and the magic and the beauty of it. And so I encourage you in your own entrepreneurial journeys to hold energetically just who you want your clients to be. I had a lady come to me last week for a reading, and one of my very favorite ways to work with people is to do an intuitive reading for them, what have you, a dream reading, a chakra reading, intuitive tarot reading, and then design a piece for them to work with that holds all the energy and all the story of the reading, so that we can do that active imagination piece, like taking those wonderful pieces of the unconscious, those wonderful gems, and putting them into a piece so they can be reminded in a meditative way of what they're working with. So that's my very favorite way to work, and it's always been really empowering for my clients. Anyway, I had this lady come for a reading last weekend, and it was just such a joy to work with her. I mean, it really was. Her energy was wonderful, and it was so funny. She sat down for the reading, and she started to talk about this symbol that she wanted to get as a tattoo. And I got this energy of a vine, and it's funny when you do these readings for people all the time. Sometimes you tell people what you get, and sometimes you don't tell people everything, and you'll realize after the reading that you didn't share all that you got for the client, and you're like, I wonder what that's about. But anyway, right before she said that, I got this picture of a vine, and then she said, a vine, and I was like, oh, of course. And she had this beautiful vine that she had designed for herself that came up pouring out of her unconscious, that had a stingray on it and a dolphin on it and a butterfly on it, a black butterfly, and it represented all of the energies of her life path that were still unfolding, and she didn't know what they meant yet, which is what Jung is talking about when he's talking about letting the symbol lead, when he's talking about letting the story lead us, so that we're not like, what does butterfly mean? Let me look it up, and let me like concretize it. Let me nail it down. He's saying, and people who follow him are saying, no, it's okay to just have this butterfly floating around, and we don't know what it means. We know what it looks like. And in time, in our story, in our life's journey, we'll know what the black butterfly is about. So anyway, I did the reading for her. It was wonderful. It was just a blast, and she was just so fun to work with. And then at the end, you know, and I had envisioned during her reading this entire bracelet that I was going to design for, but I didn't say anything about it because she was there for an intuitive reading and she knew I made bracelets, and I figured if she wanted one, she would mention it. And at the end, she was getting ready, putting on her coat and stuff, and she said, oh, did I tell you I wanted a bracelet? And I said, oh no, you didn't tell me that, but I know exactly what I designed for you. I know precisely what I do. And so she said, well, let's do it. You know, so she wrote me a check for half of it, which is how I do it. And she said, well, let's do that vine I was talking about. So I get to make her bracelet. And it's so funny because I was holding the image for her from the very beginning of the dream. So it was just such a wonderful thing. And I encourage you to believe in your mind with whatever your business idea is, whatever you're here to share or gift to other people, to imagine who your client base is, to imagine what you want them to say when they walk in the door, to imagine them receiving your gifts and receiving you. Because part of what happens when we go this entrepreneurial route, either we've had a very, very successful career, some of us have, that hasn't been particularly fulfilling, so we leave for this entrepreneurial journey, or we've had a career that's been difficult for us because we were never meant to do this 9-to-5 thing, and we had this other gift to give in this other way. So part of getting your legs in this is figuring out who your clients are, you know, and there are those people who will be too difficult to be your clients, you know. They will not be your client base because they will be looking for something that you can't give, or they will be, you know, too demanding, or they will be whatever they are, you know. And you have to really look at what kind of story you want your life to become and be able to say, you know, it's okay not to have their business, that you want to have the business only of the people who really get you and really see you and really help you to grow. And part of helping you to grow is seeing them and really getting them and really valuing what they want as a customer and a client from you. So in this journey, it's been such a thing. It's built a lot. I had done all these readings for people and had kind of built this client base and then really didn't know. I've always been kind of a skeptic and I've always been kind of a scientist. And so for me, it wasn't just enough that I could pick up energetically on what was going on with people. It wasn't enough that when I gave people readings, they said, oh my gosh, how do you know that? I wanted to understand how the intuition works and why the intuition works, and why I could pick up energetically on what was going on with them, and why I knew what their story was about. So I chose to go to this program called Pacifica Graduate Institute out in California and do my master's in counseling, which was the best decision that I've ever made in my life. And now I practice Jungian counseling and do readings, intuitive readings from a Jungian bent. So that's about archetypes and all the things that I talked about in the beginning of the show. But I want to talk a little bit about the beginning of sacred sites and those bracelets, which are the image bracelets. They started out being bracelets that were about a place that you wanted to go. And then I realized that I could do them where someone held one image. There's this idea of entrainment, which is when we hold an image in our hearts or in our bodies or in our souls, and we understand from the inside what that symbolic image does to us. And sometimes it makes us leap up inside. I remember when I was an undergraduate in college, and the horse, the image of the horse, the archetype of the horse became very, very relevant in my life. And I went around and put all these horses in all these different parts of my apartment. And that was really when I started to kind of get my footing and kind of feel like I was galloping through life and like I was gaining some momentum and like I was, you know, getting this core part of me that had stamina. And the horse is all about stamina and freedom. And I remember sitting on my couch and having this experience of, you know, feeling like I was this horse that was jumping over this fence, and I was just sitting there, and it was this elating experience, and it felt like it was held in my body, and it felt like something huge shifted. And that's what happens when we entrain something, and that can happen with an image or with a symbol. So I was traveling out to California, and I again had decided I wanted to purchase something for myself as a gift for making this huge journey and, you know, trusting myself enough to believe that I could do this big thing. And I was in Dixie Forest, Utah, and we were out in the middle of this beautiful, beautiful, I mean, if you've ever been through a Dixie Forest, it's just beautiful. It's like this pinkish-orange rock and this beautiful, like burnt sinia, like this black, brown, gravelly stone that, like, has these, you know, what are they, stalagmite-type things that stick up. I think that's the ones, stalactites, or maybe the ones that stick up. I don't remember which, but they look like those kind of formations. And this beautiful, crystal clear water that's, like, blue underneath. Anyway, the colors are just so magnificent and so pristine. And so I was out there, and I had walked out into the middle of where this river was. There was a tree that had fallen down over the river, and I walked out in the middle, and I sat down, and I was meditating and just taking in the energy of the area. And I thought, I want to make a bracelet of this. And I thought, well, I can't. I don't have any beads. I don't have any wire. How am I going to remember this scene? And I thought, what if I could? And you know that, what if I could? What if something else were true? What if there's another story to tell? What if there's another layer of something? That's this place of curiosity where our life unfolds. And so I thought, well, what if I could? And it became a game. It became playful instead of this piece where I had to. And I closed my eyes. I looked around in the area, and I looked at all the different parts that I would want the bracelet to embody. And then I closed my eyes till I could see exactly what I could see when I had my eyes open. And I asked my body and my mind to remember that image, like a snapshot in my brain. And I got up, and I got to California, to Santa Barbara area, and started my program, and was crazy busy like any new grad student is. And 2 months later, I walked into a bead store in Santa Barbara and bought all the beads and made the bracelet, which you can see as well in the video. And, you know, the Burtsinia, I have these beads that had the Burtsinia and the peach color underneath them and the blues, and it's beautiful. It looks just exactly like the area. And I wouldn't have believed I could do that. And if I said to someone, oh, yeah, I can, like, you know, kind of photographically get this picture in my mind and bring it up 2 months later and design something that looks exactly like I was there, I wouldn't have believed I could do it. And I don't know that I would believe it if someone else told me. Now I would. But I did it, and it's beautiful. And so I guess what I encourage you to do is, in your own entrepreneurial journeys, when you're feeling overwhelmed or you're aligning with people who are telling you you have to do it one particular way. I remember when I wanted to start taking credit cards, and everybody around me who hadn't taken credit cards was saying, oh, my gosh, you can't do that. You know, if you do that, you have to meet with someone, and you have to spend at least $400 a month, and if you don't, there's a penalty. And, you know, their backstory about what they weren't ready to do yet. And I said, there has to be another way. And Tammy, my partner, who is amazing at coming up with other ways when we're at dead ends, said to me, well, let me look into it. What if that isn't true? And I said, I don't believe that. There has to be another way to do it. And I was able to find this place. I mean, now it's easy. You know, you have these swipers where you can just swipe a credit card. But at that point, there was this company out of Hilliard, Ohio, that we found, and it was $60 flat, and then you just got, you know, a percentage. But if I had believed the story that I was told, that was someone else's, you know, stopping story about what could be, I would not believe that I could take credit cards. I would believe that you had to be a bigger business and you had to invest more. I would believe the common cultural story about you can't, you have to be bigger, you have to be better, you have to have more than you do, you know, and I would have used it as a limitation, but I didn't. I thought, well, I'm looking, and I remember one of my very first therapists, wonderful, wonderful lady, who helped me develop a more solid ego, because that wasn't my strength when I was an undergraduate in college. And I remember her saying, you're not looking for every job. You're looking for one job. You're looking for one right fit. You're looking for one right person. And that's something I tell my clients now when they say, oh, there's nobody out there for me, or there's no job that fits what I want. I say, you're only looking for one job. You're only looking for one person. If you're looking for one person like you, there's another person who's looking for one person if you're looking for one person like someone, there's another person out there who's looking for someone like you. And that's where we start to say yes to our energetic matches. Another thing I want to talk about is when I started to diversify, I do basically started out with these sacred bracelets coiled designs, and then I started to make these malas. I had this client, I did a reading for, done several readings for her, and she had seen my bracelets and decided she wanted to purchase one for herself for a birthday present. And she told me a story about a wonderful trip that she'd taken to India. And so I started looking up pictures of India and these ashrams and things like that so that I could get the energy for her bracelet in mind. And looked into the idea of malas, which are these wonderful, wonderful Buddhist prayer beads that have 108 beads and then three beads that are transitional, where you, and a lot of different cultures have these beads. They have them in the Middle East. They have them in rosaries and Catholicism. They're prayer beads, essentially, and you hold each bead and you set intention. Well, I started making these affirmation malas, but what I did was I made this bracelet for her, and it came with this little mantra, this song called The Sun Inside, and it was wonderful and very, very melodic, and it was just this little kind of circular song that I sang as I made her bracelet. And I kind of held the energy of the malas but didn't really do anything with it. And then I had a longtime client who called me up and said, you know, I want a birthday present for my husband, and I don't know if you do these, but I'm wondering if you've heard of malas. And I said, oh, sure, I've heard of malas. I've just looked them up recently. And she said, well, I wonder if you designed this three bears mala, which represents this Uva Ursa, this I don't know if I'm saying that right, but this constellation in the sky with these bears, because it had to do with the story that we told in our early dating. And so I designed a piece for him that had blue stones, I believe lapis and onyx, and then these white stones, which represented these three white bears. And I said to her, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And I've come to the place in my own business and in my own life where unless I get like a real strong no, I know that the universe is broadening my skills and is helping me connect with energies that are, you know, rounding the curve and are asking me to embrace something larger. So I said, I'll try, but I'm not going to guarantee anything. And I don't want, you know, if I can't do it, that needs to be okay. And she said, oh, that'd be wonderful. So I designed this piece for her, and she was really, really happy with it. And then another client who had come for counseling said, Jenny, I love your bracelets, but I'm just not a bracelet girl. And I wondered if you would be willing to make a mala for me. Do you know what those are? And I said, oh, yeah, I just made one for somebody. So I started making these affirmation malas, and I've made, five or six of them now. And they're just a wonderful alternative to the regular bracelet style. And then I realized that I could design them as coils. So I just started designing these bracelets called affirmation mala bracelets. And there are 108 stones with the three transitional stones in them. And they have the sacred bracelets, a little signature curl of the gold or silver or colored wire. So they look similar with that swirly pattern. But they're designed to do the prayers and set the intention. And the thing that's so wonderful about the malas is they're designed not just to, you know, send out regular prayers in the world, but they're designed to hold the energies of your dreams. And they're a way that you can work in a ritualistic way by holding each bead and setting intention for what you want to bring forward. So that's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And something that if I had said no to my client, you know, I don't think I can do that, I really doubt these other people would have come up the pike who said, you know, if you do these malas, and then nobody would have seen them, but they're just the perfect, perfect fit. So I encourage you in your own lives to allow your clients to stretch you, you know, allow your clients to tell you what it is your gifts are. If they see something like recently, I teach these tarot card classes, Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Card classes, and I remember working with some clients this summer, and you know, I got really, really excited about how to trust your intuition, and one of my clients said, actually one of the ones who had purchased the mala said, well, I want to go to that class. And I said, what? I said, I think I'm teaching that class. She said, I want to go to that class. So I know that in my future there are these classes about trusting your intuition and how to get in touch with your intuition. But if I was too in my ego, right, if I was too in that investment and, you know, too hard in my ego, I wouldn't notice that she was mirroring for me something that I hadn't imagined yet. So such a gift to kind of be light about what it is you offer, you know, so that your client base tells you what you should offer next. So, and I've discovered, you know, also that goes two ways. It's wonderful to engage your clients as much as you can in your vision and in the way that they can help share your vision. I just recently, for folks who are listening to the show, I encourage you to check out Sacred Bracelets on Facebook, and you can see examples of all of these different kinds of work and specific designs that I've done, as well as the Sacred Sites designs and the Sacred Numbers designs. But I just put up this photo album. I'm really excited about this. It's a holiday photo album of all my past customers and all my past clients, and they're around in outdoors in their, you know, native areas, many of them in Columbus where I live, and they're, you know, out and about, and they're wearing their bracelets. And so that's been really, really fun to include my customer base in my advertising, because it makes people feel connected and it makes people feel like I'm a person who wants a sacred bracelet, and there are so many different people in so many different places in their journey who have so many different wonderful stories. So that's been really, really a wonderful gift. I've just gotten into having models, and that's been really, really fun. I just did a photo shoot with a model and are offering that as an option to Sacred Bracelets customers who are in the CBUS area in the spring. We just went to the Park of Roses and took a whole bunch of pictures of earrings and bracelets. I just designed about 18 sets of earrings. I'm doing a signature collection called the Autumn Winds Collection of earrings, and that's been really, really a lot of fun. So, also there are Phoenix Books. I did a slideshow on Sacred Bracelets Vision, and then also have them there to purchase. And on December 1st, between 1 and 4, Mark Moody and I will be there doing readings. He does wonderful intuitive work, and I'll be doing intuitive tarot readings, as well as offering sacred bracelets for purchase and special orders for the holidays. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. But it's been really fun to move from this place of getting your grounding with the business and then starting to open it up to your customers, because it's so wonderful when you can say to someone, you know, I know you've been a client for a while and you have 3 or 4 bracelets. Would you like to model the bracelets? And that's where the face of the business isn't just about you anymore. And I encourage those entrepreneurs out there, people who have these ideas, to engage your clients in the process. And because the face of the business then is not about you. It is about all of your clients and all of their stories and all of their dreams and visions, and that's where the co-creation really, really happens, when we can let go of our vision and become the vision of we, you know, this larger co-creative vision, and that's where the energy really, really flourishes and can be really, really inspiring to people. So, I'm trying to think what else I want to share here. Oh, I know what else I want to share. When I was done with my master's, I had moved back to Ohio, and the school I went to, Pacifica, for those who are familiar with the Myers-Briggs, most of the people who work there are INFPs, right? Intuitive, introverts, feelers, perceivers. Well, INFPs may be big thinkers, but they're not detail-oriented people. So there were just several people on campus who were in the academic arena who were, you know, more sensate, more detail type people. And as a result, even though I got a wonderful education and, you know, was offered ways to do counseling that I don't think most people are you know, offered or get to study, and I'm so happy for that opportunity. Some of the details were not perfectly fit, and one of the things that happened was when I went to the board in California, when I thought that I was going to go take my test for the board, we didn't have enough credit hours. We were, I think, 5 credits shy, and the way it works for the California board is you didn't have to make them up in a particular core area. You could make them up any way you wanted to. So Pacifica, because it is the wonderful school that it is, and they understand that education is lifelong and that it's inner work, it's an inner journey, asked us to write a paper about where we were at now, a year after we had graduated, and what our career path, what our calling looked like at this point. Well, my partner is a wonderful photographer, and we had this one picture of this peacock that she had taken when she was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it happened to be sitting in front of the bureau by the TV in the living room. And I would look at it every day because we had just moved in, and I would sit on the couch opposite it and look at it. And one day I decided that I wanted to make a bracelet of this peacock. And so I started on this bracelet, and I was really, really excited about it. And it was just beautiful blues and pinks and greens, and it really looked like this peacock design. And it was one of those senses where you feel like you're rising up and in training and energy, like the horse story that I told earlier. Well, we got to read all these books about career and calling and what the difference was between the two and what our calling looked like. And one of the books that we got to read was Robert Moore, I believe it was, Soul Journey, and or The Soul of Work, that's what it was called. And one of the main themes in the book was this peacock image and how in alchemy, the different feathers of the peacock represented different parts of our calling or our own journey about what our life was about, what the core aspects of our life was about, what things we were most passionate were about. And that often in our Western-based culture, we have this career that we have to establish that's on the outside that, you know, is so focused on the external journey at the expense of the inner journey. And Robert Moore talked about this inner journey, which has to do with the different aspects of the peacock feathers, the different parts of the feathers, the different parts of the plumage, the different parts of your passion. And it was amazing because I was reading this metaphor about this peacock and looking across at this peacock picture and making this bracelet about this peacock. And that's when it all came to me that my life's work at that point was changing. I wasn't going to be certified by the Social Workers Board in Columbus, Ohio, like I had anticipated. My journey was different than that. And I was meant to be a minister and got my ministerial license and started practicing that way, which offered me a lot more options and a lot more authenticity in the way that I practice my counseling. But it also meant that my journey wasn't just to be a therapist and just to be an intuitive reader. My journey included this wonderful opportunity to connect with other people's energy through this art and through sacred bracelets. And I realized that my journey wasn't this linear thing. It was this wonderful, wonderful web-like thing that had to do with my clients and all of those little spoke-like connections that create the web of life. And so I wrote this wonderful paper for Pacifica about this peacock, and only at Pacifica could you write a paper about, you know, this synchronistic experience that showed up in this symbol and spoke to you this story. That's what was so wonderful about the education that I got there, was that creativity was encouraged in any different modality you used, whether it be Ayurvedic or the chakras or tarot. I remember writing a paper about the imagery of the tower and how that showed up in my life. And so, I mean, my point is that this wonderful thing that seemed like this mistake, right, having to write this extra paper and get this extra credit and all of this stuff so we could sit for this test, was this wonderful opportunity. It was this powerful opportunity to be able to tell a story from a different vantage point. And as I've grown and developed my businesses and developed my vision and figured out what no looks like and what doesn't feel like a good opportunity for me, what feels beneath me and what feels like it compromises my passion and my heart and my soul, I've been so blessed to have the client base that I do, to help people find their inner selves and find this authentic journey and figure out where their gifts are and figure out where their skills are, and also to be able to figure out, you know, how to engage bullies and move through that energy and feel connected with their, you know, their higher self. And whether I do that through the bracelets and through sacred bracelets or whether I do it, you know, by just one reading an evening, you know, with one person, or whether I work with someone for a year, all of those are different parts of my journey, and all of those represent that peacock energy. And I put that peacock on my desktop, and I started out, I made this map for myself, this business plan, which had to do with all of the chakras and noticing what I was moving through energetically. I made one for myself, too, when I was getting ready to go to graduate school, and I colored them in as I did these different activities, and I just was able to help a client do that on their own journey. But I designed that, and I wrote down all the things I wanted to do, and it started out as my business plan. And I've, you know, I don't even have to have that, you know, business plan written with those verbal things anymore, because I've internalized that chakra work so much that now I put this picture of this. I started out with this picture of this albino peacock that I put on my desktop for this pure energy and this new energy. And then I added it in, and I made this other peacock, and the other peacock has feathers up. So as my business builds, this image changes. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share this evening. If you'd like to get a hold of Sacred Bracelets, you can do that on Facebook. Please like it and share it with your friends and check out my albums. And if you'd like to watch the video, that's on YouTube under Sacred Bracelets. Have a great evening. Well, there we go. The music isn't playing tonight. Anyway, whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic in your world. That's what we're here for. Take good care, everybody. Bye now.